This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 1 and 2 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be looking back at the last two evenings of Champions League football as all four English sides are into the last 16 draw, which will take place on Monday. It didn't end well in the group for Tottenham. They lost 3-1 away in Munich. For Manchester City, plain sailing in the end, 4-1 win over in Dinamo Zagreb. So we'll be looking at who they could potentially face in the last 16. We'll also be looking ahead to the Europa League final group stage games tonight. Wolves, Manchester United, Celtic all through. Arsenal are virtually there so long as they don't lose 5-0 against Standard Liège. But the way Arsenal are defending, I don't think you can completely put that out of the question. And also Rangers are virtually there, just a little bit more needed to get them through. As well as going through some of the other top stories in the Premier League at the moment. Could Liverpool be about to splash some cash in January? Could Chelsea be getting a new owner? And where will Carlo Ancelotti end up? If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Premier League Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to cover over the next hour. That number again, 0208 7020 558, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon. Obviously, you may have heard it. We've got some very exciting news here at Love Sport, and it is that we are going national on Monday. So no matter where you are, up and down the country, you can listen to us on digital radio, whether you're going to and from work or whether you're going to and from a game on a Saturday afternoon. You can listen to us throughout your journey. You don't just need to be in London now to listen to us on digital radio. You can listen to us across the UK. There'll also be some new fan shows which we are going to be announcing very, very soon. So it's a very exciting time for us, very exciting time for you, the listeners out there. We're going national from Monday. So let's look back at the Champions League action from this week. Obviously, last night was the final Champions League action of 2019. What a memorable year it has been for me in particular as a Liverpool fan. Looking at the group stage games, the final ones in Group A, B, C and D. In the two English groups that were left there, Tottenham were over in Munich. They rested a lot of players. They have quite a few players out injured. So they named pretty much a second string side for Tottenham. And they went down 3-1 away at Bayern Munich. Kingsley Coman had given Munich the lead. Ryan Sessegnon then scored his first goal for Spurs. A good volley, actually, in the end. But goals from Thomas Müller and Felipe Coutinho sealed all 3 points. It means Bayern Munich have won 6 from 6. The only side in the Champions League group stages this season to have a 100% record from all of their group stage games. Perhaps a bigger threat than maybe we would have anticipated before the start of the group stages. So it was already sorted that Bayern would go through and on top and Spurs would go through second in Group B. It finished with Bayern 18 points out of a possible 18. Spurs finished on 10 points. And then for the battle for the Europa League spot, it was Olympiacos that pipped Red Star Belgrade to the Europa League place. The other English side in action last night, Manchester City, they were away from home in a pretty intimidating atmosphere and environment over in Dinamo Zagreb. But a Gabriel Jesus hat-trick meant that City got all 3 points and they top Group C. Surprisingly, it was Atalanta in their first ever season in the Champions League that secured second spot. They won 3-0 over at Shakhtar Donetsk, considering the Italian side lost their first three games. It is a pretty stunning achievement for them to be into the knockout stages. They grew through as the second side from Group C, a wonderful achievement for the Italian side. In Group A, it was yet again plain sailing for Paris Saint-Germain, 5-0 against Galatasaray, the likes of Icardi, Neymar and Mbappe all scoring on the night. Over in Belgium, and Club Brugge lost 3-1 at home against Real Madrid, a much changed Real Madrid side that featured some of their summer signings, the likes of Ferland Mendy, also Rodrigo and Luka Jovic as well, who struggled to really make an impact at Real Madrid. And finally, in Group D, Juventus had already sealed top spot, but it was a case of whether Atletico Madrid would take second spot or Bayer Leverkusen. And, well, Atletico Madrid, in the end, easily cruising through. They won 2-0 at home against Lokomotiv Moscow. Kieran Trippier did miss a penalty inside the opening couple of minutes. Joao Felix then scored a penalty about 15 minutes later. Madrid going to a 2-0 victory. Juventus winning in Germany by 2-0. Goals from Cristiano Ronaldo and Gonzalo Higuain meant that Juventus obviously go through. They had already confirmed it, but they go through as Group D winners. So we now know the 16 sides that will be in the draw on Monday morning. It's at 11 o'clock. A bit strange that it's not tomorrow, but it is on Monday morning over in Nyon. And so the group winners, of course, we have eight of them. They will be Paris Saint-Germain, Bayern Munich, Manchester City, Juventus, Liverpool, Barcelona, RB Leipzig and Valencia. The runners-up will be Real Madrid, Tottenham, Atalanta, Atletico Madrid, Napoli, Borussia Dortmund, Lyon and Chelsea. So, looking at the potential opponents for all of the English sides, for Liverpool, obviously as a group winner after winning, being top of Group E, Liverpool can face Real Madrid, Atalanta, Atletico Madrid, Borussia Dortmund or Lyon, which is a very similar, obviously, grouping to what Manchester City can face. The only change there is obviously Atalanta, who are in City's group, being swapped out, and Napoli, who are in Liverpool's group, being swapped in. And then obviously for Tottenham and for Chelsea, very, very similar for those two sides as they were both runners-up. Potential opponents for Chelsea, Leipzig, Barcelona, Juventus, Bayern Munich and Paris Saint-Germain. The only change, obviously, is that Tottenham could face Valencia, Chelsea could face Bayern Munich. So those are all of the sides that will be in the draw, which, as I said, will be on Monday. Remember, teams cannot be drawn against members of the same national association. So, for example, Liverpool can't be in the same group as Tottenham, or Manchester City can't be in the same group. Can't be in the same tie as each other. So Liverpool can't be in the same last 16 tie as Tottenham. City can't be drawn alongside Chelsea. Or against group stage rivals. So as I mentioned there, Liverpool can play Atalanta in the last 16 but can't play Napoli because they were in their group. City can't play Atalanta. They can play Napoli. The seeded teams will be at home in the second legs. Remember, the seeded teams will be those sides that finished top. So PSG, Bayern Munich, Manchester City, Juventus, Liverpool, Barcelona, Leipzig and Valencia will all be the seeded sides. So they'll be at home and away. They'll be away in the first leg, then at home in the second leg. These legs will take place on the 18th or 19th of February and the 25th and 26th of February for the first legs, and the second legs will be the 10th, 11th of March or the week later, 17th or 18th of March. Obviously for Manchester City, they did make some changes to that side knowing that they'd already sealed top spot, and Phil Foden, although even Gabriel Jesus scored a hat-trick, so in theory should be the star of the show from an England perspective, it was perhaps more a case of Phil Foden being at the centre of attention, and once again was very, very good. He seems to take his opportunity whenever he gets the chance to play in the first team. I think what Pep Guardiola has asked for is a bit more of a work ethic off the ball and having higher intensity when City are out of possession, because I think we can all see his technical ability on the ball. But I think what Guardiola wants is, and you think back to his Barcelona side of the late 2000s, you then think to his Bayern Munich side or even this Manchester City side over the last couple of years, You can see the energy and intensity off the ball as well as on it from his midfielders. But I think Phil Foden's getting to a very interesting stage in his career, because Jadon Sancho obviously decided that he wasn't going to get enough game time, or the game time that he felt he deserved, made the move to Dortmund and is now being touted around all the top sides in Europe, and probably is going to go for over £100 million at some point over the next two windows. Phil Foden obviously has a strong affinity to the club because he's a Manchester lad through and through. He's been with City throughout his life so far. But obviously he's going to get to an interesting stage. David Silva will leave at the end of the season. But are we realistically saying that Pep Guardiola isn't going to sign a replacement for him and promote Phil Foden? In theory, he already has obviously it's difficult to say whether he's going to be a ready-made replacement, because David Silva's been one of the best foreign imports we've seen in the Premier League. So it's a bit difficult to put that pressure on Phil Foden. But he is, you'd think, he has the opportunity to go in when David Silva leaves the club at the end of the season to stake a claim for that position. But I can't see City not signing a big midfielder. So does he need to consider his future? Maybe not for the next 12 months. But I think in 12, 18 months' time, if things haven't dramatically changed and he's not playing on a regular basis, I'm sure there'll be plenty of clubs that would be looking for his signature. For Tottenham, a good night for Ryan Sessegnon, scoring his first goal for Tottenham and starting away at the Allianz Arena. I know Tottenham made plenty of changes, but I think what last night proves, and I think we've seen it over the last 6 to 12 months, Tottenham just don't have a good squad. That's just a simple fact of the matter, that they can't compete. The reason why they don't win major competitions, they don't win Premier Leagues, they don't win Champions Leagues, is because their squad isn't good enough. And actually, look at their starting 11. They need a lot of new players. You're looking at potentially a whole new back four, because Aurier isn't a good enough right back. They might lose Vertonghen and Alderweireld at centre back. Rose is awful, and Ben Davis is probably a backup left back. Their goalkeeper isn't good enough. They need a world-class goalkeeper. They probably need at least a couple more midfielders. They are well short of a squad that can really compete. And I think last night, granted Bayern Munich were closer to full strength than Tottenham were, last night did highlight how far away Tottenham really are from competing on all fronts at the top level, because they just simply don't have a good enough squad. So that's the Champions League. Obviously, final Europa League games coming up tonight. In Group K, Wolves are at home to Beşiktaş. Wolves are already sealed, have already sealed their place in the last 32. A win and a lack of a win for Sporting Braga will seal top spot. Manchester United play AZ Alkmaar in Group L. They're already through. Celtic are away at Cluj. They're already through in Group E. Arsenal are over in Standard Liège in Group F. Arsenal are virtually through. So long as they don't lose 5-0 over in Liège, then they will go through. Rangers at home to Young Boys in Group G. A similar situation. Rangers are virtually through. There are very few results that could lead to Rangers being knocked out. So you'd imagine that all five of the British sides will take their place in that last 32 draw that will take place after the Champions League draw on Monday morning. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, either looking back at last night's Champions League action, looking ahead to tonight's Europa League action, or just any Premier League story as a whole, remember, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so we want to hear from you this afternoon. Obviously, plenty more to come over the hour. We're talking about Chelsea. Could a US billionaire Todd Boehly be ready to bid again for Chelsea? Is he really trying to force Roman Abramovich's hand? Could there be some new contracts for the likes of Willian and Fikayo Tomori? We'll also be talking about Wolves, who are in action in the Europa League. Could they make some signings in the January transfer window, as well as looking at some of the other big Premier League stories? We'll be back after this. Love Sport. Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch, you can call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. You may have heard it. Obviously, we've got some exciting news here at Love Sport, and it is that we are going national from Monday. So you can listen to us on your digital radio up and down the country. It doesn't matter where you are. You can be outside of London and you can listen to us on your journey, no matter where you are going in the UK. So it's the great news that we are going national from Monday. Let's look at some of the top stories then in the Premier League at the moment. Obviously, we've been talking about the Champions League. We know the last 16 sides. The draw takes place on Monday morning. The Europa League heads into its final day tonight. Most of the British sides are already through. They'll be looking ahead to that draw for most of them, if not all of them, as we would expect on Monday after the Champions League draw. So let's look at some of the top stories in the Premier League. A transfer story that was breaking this morning, involving Liverpool. And it is the news that they are set to sign, from all accounts, they're set to sign Takumi Minamino from Red Bull Salzburg. Now, obviously played well against Liverpool in this year's group stages, scored at Anfield in that ridiculous 4-3 win for Liverpool early in the group stages, played well the other night. Obviously a Japanese international, and it seems like there's a whole host of interest around Europe, and it seems like Liverpool are on the front foot with it. According to some accounts, the deal is already agreed. We're going to have to wait official confirmation, obviously, from the club. But the belief is that Liverpool are going to sign him in the January transfer window. And staggeringly, he has a release clause of just £7.25 million, which is phenomenal. Apparently, according to some reports, Liverpool value him at over triple that. So we're very keen to wrap up a deal for him. As I said, He really impressed me in both games against us in the group stages. His versatility, his energy, his high intensity, I think will make sure that he fits in really, really well. And for £7.25 million, that would be a phenomenal bit of business for him. So Liverpool are set to sign Takumi Minamino from Red Bull Salzburg. It hasn't been officially confirmed as of yet, but it is pretty likely to happen. Negotiations are ongoing, and according to some reports, a deal has even been agreed. One to keep an eye out for, keep an eye out on over the next few weeks as we build up to that January transfer window. It really isn't very far away. A story in the Telegraph today, an exclusive, is that the US businessman Todd Boehly, who is obviously part owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers over in America, is ready to increase his bid for Chelsea. Supposedly, he's already had a bid turned down by Roman Abramovich, who values the club at £3 billion. But he is going in again, showing that there is a commitment from their end to taking over at Chelsea. So certainly one to keep an eye on. It seems like Abramovich is very reluctant to sell Chelsea, but I think it ultimately in business it comes down to money, doesn't it, as to how much Todd Boehly is really willing to offer. But it seems like they are very keen on buying Chelsea from Roman Abramovich. Talking of Chelsea, we'll be talking more about them in just a few moments' time. Fikeo Tomori is apparently on the verge of earning a new five-year contract at the club, and also Willian could be in line for a new contract as well at Stamford Bridge. Carlo Ancelotti obviously is now a free agent. It came as, well, it didn't really come as a surprise because it had been rumoured for a few days before it actually happened, but it really is staggering that Napoli would allow a manager of that quality to go. Gennaro Gattuso obviously is in over in Naples. So Ancelotti is a free agent. He is now free for not just clubs in England, but around Europe to potentially go in for him. And supposedly Everton and Arsenal are competing for him. Everton are looking to beat Arsenal to that appointment. I think for Ancelotti, this is a very good manager. He's a serial winner. May not be necessarily as good as he was maybe 10 years ago, but this is still a very, very good manager. It'd be a huge step down to go to Everton. They'd be punching massively above their weight if they were to appoint him. That would be a massive statement from Everton if they were able to get Ancelotti. It seems like a more logical fit to go to Arsenal. It would seem like a very sensible solid option for the Gunners. Whether they actually pursue that is a completely different thing. But I don't just think clubs in England will be looking at him. I think plenty of clubs around Europe. There were some rumours that if Lucien Favre was to be sat by Borussia Dortmund, they may look at appointing Ancelotti. So inevitably, a bit like Pochettino being sat by Tottenham, that their availability will certainly spark interest from a number of other clubs. But for Arsenal, it would seem like a pretty logical fit to go and appoint Ancelotti. Whether it actually happens, we don't know. I mentioned how one Salzburg player is potentially on the verge of a move to the Premier League in the form of Takumi Minamino. Another of Salzburg's players, obviously one of the kind of most well-known young players currently in world football, and that is Erling Braut Haaland, the Norwegian centre-forward. Son of, as we all know, has had a stunning season so far, both in the Austrian Bundesliga as well as in the Champions League. He's been touted around. There have been some rumours even of a £17 million release clause. It's a bit strange that we don't know whether that's true or not. Surely it's as simple as he either has a release clause or he doesn't have a release clause. It's quite a simple question and answer, isn't it? But anyway, there are rumours that there is this £17 million release clause. Yesterday, it has emerged that he was visiting both Borussia Dortmund and RB Leipzig. Now, a lot of people have been suggesting Leipzig seems like the logical move, obviously from Salzburg to Leipzig is a move that a lot of players make, and obviously they are owned by the same people, although through the fact that they couldn't play in the same competition, by being owned by the same people, they've managed to find a loophole, but we all know they are both owned by the same people. But Borussia Dortmund are also very, very keen, so it'll be very interesting to see where he ends up. I think he is likely to end up at one of those two clubs. I think at the age that he's at, just 19, I think it would probably be a wise move to go and ply your trade at Leipzig or Dortmund for a couple of years and then look for a bigger move rather than maybe do it slightly too early. But I'm sure there'll be plenty of clubs. If he is available for £17 million, if that is his release clause, I think there'll be quite a clamouring for his signing. Looking at some of the other stories back in the Premier League, a blow for Arsenal, obviously, as I mentioned, they're in Europa League action tonight. And it is the news that Kieran Tierney could miss up to 3 months. Obviously, had a A delayed start to his Arsenal career, having had a hernia operation over the summer. So it took a little bit of time for him to make his debut. He was signed right at the end of the window by Arsenal from Celtic. He went off on Monday night away at West Ham, and it looked bad. You could see his arm was, well, his shirt was acting as a brace for his arm, so you could kind of see it was going to be a dislocation of his right shoulder, and that's exactly what it is. So a blow for Arsenal, losing Kieran Tierney for quite an amount of time. Another injury up in the northeast, up at Newcastle, and a big blow for them is the news that Alan Saint-Maximin could be out for 6 games after it was confirmed that the hamstring injury he had picked up against Southampton would keep him out for a month. He seemed to kick on over the last few weeks. Obviously, took him and Almiron and Joe Linton quite a significant amount of time to adjust, really, to the Premier League. But in recent weeks, Saint-Maximin has significantly stepped up and has been one of the players that's really spearheaded a resurgence in form for Newcastle in recent weeks. So that's going to be a blow for Newcastle in this very, very busy period of the season. We talked about one team in Europa League action tonight in Arsenal, another in Wolves. Obviously, a great first season in the Europa League in decades for them this season. They're already qualified. They could even finish top of Group K. But they've had to deal with a few transfer rumours and surrounding Raul Jimenez, who obviously they signed for big money. They confirmed it over the summer, having had him on loan from Benfica last season. And he is flirted with the idea of playing back in Spain. You might or might not know he did once play for Atletico Madrid, and he has potentially opened the door for that. I remember when he first signed for Wolves and I thought, is he an out and out natural goal scorer? And I significantly doubted that and thought he looks like a kind of an all right centre forward, a player that's going to work hard off the ball. He's going to have high energy, he's going to have the stamina to play for 90 minutes. So he looked like an okay player. But I think what we've seen over the last 6 to 12 months is a real development from him into a natural goal scorer. And I think there'll be plenty of clubs, not just in the Premier League, but around Europe, that would be looking into potentially signing him. So Wolves have maybe got a job on their hands to keep hold of him. They have been linked with, I talked about a couple of Salzburg players that could be on the move in January. Another could be their Korean forward Hwang Hee-chan, who has been good for Salzburg in the group stages of this season's Champions League. Wolves are potentially looking at a move for him, around £17 to £20 million, although the rumour is that even if they were to sign him, they'd loan him back to Salzburg for the rest of the season, and then he'd join on a permanent basis from next season. So it does feel like a bit like Monaco a few seasons ago when they got all the way to the semi-finals of the Champions League. It feels like that will then lead to an exodus from the Austrian club. And just one more Premier League line to bring you, and it's surrounding VAR. I mean, it gets a bit draining and a bit boring to constantly be talking about VAR, but on the back of the Times today, the FA and the other British football associations will spearhead a bid by UEFA to eradicate marginal VAR offside calls from next season. Obviously, offsides have been the most controversial aspect of the video assistant referee system, with players having had goals ruled out after being judged offside by a few millimetres. It certainly got on the nerves of quite a few people so far this season, but they might be able to change. I mean, there have been a few. You think of Roberto Firmino's goal against Aston Villa, the armpit goal, if you want to call it that, Spurs against Sheffield United, where John Lundstrom's big toe was offside. Would it be Manchester City against Chelsea right at the end of that game, where I think it was Kurt Zouma's backside or Sterling's backside was playing him offside. England against Holland, remember, in the Nations League, Jesse Lingard was a matter of millimetres offside. That maybe they are looking to change that. Peter Walton, in an interview in the Times today, technology wasn't meant for tight calls like these. That I think that's where the frustration has grown, that VAR wasn't brought in to judge whether someone's big toe was offside. It was actually brought in to get rid of clangers. It was brought in to eradicate the huge, significant human error rather than a case of someone's armpit or someone's backside being offside. So it does seem like some discussions are going to need to be taking place. But what's really, really key about this, and it's really important that the referees, the PUGMO in this country, they acknowledge that that there is a problem, that there is something wrong. Because remember those ridiculous comments by Neil Swarbrick where he said he'd give VAR a 7 out of 10 for the season. Who's he kidding? Who genuinely listens to that and thinks, I'll tell you what, VAR's been a really good a success. A 7 out of 10 suggests that it's done a really good job so far this season. I wouldn't even give VAR a positive score. I think it would definitely be in the negative. It'd be about a minus 1 or a minus 2. And so there needs to be an acknowledgement from the referees in this country that something needs to change. Going to the screens for a starter, the sideline monitors, needs to be one thing. But there are certain things that need to be changed. And what's worrying is that we thought when we saw it at the World Cup that it would be something good that would be brought in that would improve our game. I think in reality, you compare football now to where it was 6 months ago from last season, I think we're probably worse off. But hopefully we can stop talking about VAR as much as possible, but I'm not holding my breath. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. So make sure you call us this afternoon, share your views on anything to do with the Premier League. We're going to talk about Wolves later in the hour. They're in Europa League action against Beşiktaş, potentially with top spots awaiting them in Group K. Will they do any business in January? But up next, we'll be talking Chelsea. Could they have a new owner in the very near future? Could some players be signing new contracts? We'll be talking all things Chelsea next.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch, make sure you do call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. Just a reminder of the Europa League games to come tonight. 5 British sides in action. Wolves are at home against Beşiktaş in Group K. Wolves still have a chance of topping that group. They're already through. Manchester United are already through in Group L. They host AZ Alkmaar in their final game. Celtic are through in Group E. They're away in Cluj. Arsenal are virtually through. They're away at Standard Liège in Group F. And in Group G, Rangers are, again, really close to qualification. Just about to confirm that. They're at home against Young Boys. Rangers did lose. The only game they have lost in this season's group stages was away at Young Boys. A couple of big Chelsea stories around today. Contracts, but also potentially new ownership. To talk all things Chelsea now, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Cleon Carbis from the Chelsea Fancast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon. Let's start with that ownership. There's a big exclusive in the Telegraph today saying that US billionaire Todd Boehly, who's part owner of the LA Dodgers, is going in again. He's had one bid knocked back, but he's really committed to this. Where do you see this one going? Do you think that Abramovich will sell eventually, or do you think he is so adamant that he's not going to sell it that it doesn't really matter what Todd Boehly comes in with? There's not a chance that he will sell it.
Well, it's certainly an interesting situation. I think Boehly's very persistent, but in my eyes, I think Abramovich will remain reluctant to sell and will look to wait as long as possible before making any sort of decisive decision. And particularly given the fact that effectively Marina Granovskaya leads Chelsea as a sort of Roman Abramovich spokesperson, I don't think that sort of the issues that Abramovich has encountered with the visa has affected the running of the club too dramatically. And with that in mind, I don't think that he's in a position that he feels that he needs to sell the club.
Considering the number of trophies that Chelsea have won since Roman Abramovich took over in the early 2000s, do you think that Chelsea fans on the whole would be quite sad to see Abramovich sell the club, that actually they're pretty satisfied? We often hear about clubs, fans desperate for the owners to sell up and to move on to a new set of owners. But in this situation, do you think, even though in theory Todd Boehly might do good things for Chelsea if he were to take over, that Chelsea fans are actually pretty satisfied with the owner and have no intention really of seeing the club sold?
Oh, most definitely. I think you're spot on there. I think Chelsea fans are very contented with Abramovich. I think everybody recognises the influence he's had on the club, particularly sort of the progression from a club that was on the periphery of sort of the top four and in the top six to now relentless competitors and relentless winners. So I think everybody recognises the importance of Abramovich in the history of the club. And also I think it's worth noting, and something that has been reported upon this season, is that Abramovich has had his sort of love for the club sort of reaffirmed by Frank Lampard's management. I recall reading earlier on in the season that Abramovich is really, really happy with Frank Lampard at the helm, and it's something that is of great pleasure to him. So, you know, from those aspects, it doesn't seem to indicate that Abramovich is in a position where he needs to sell. And as you said, if he were to sell, I think that Chelsea fans would be somewhat disappointed to see him leave.
Let's talk about a few of Chelsea's players and a few contract situations. Firstly, Fikayo Tomori, obviously a player that has come through Chelsea's academy. Obviously, he's been at the age, been at Chelsea since the age of 8. Obviously, he was on loan at Derby, where he obviously played under Frank Lampard last season. He's played quite significantly, or played quite a lot this season, maybe aided by the fact that Antonio Rudiger has been out for a lot of the season. He's set to sign a new 5-year deal at Stamford Bridge. How excited are Chelsea fans about Tomori, and how far really can he go?
I think we're hugely excited about Tomori. I think one of the things that he's really shown this season is his composure at the highest level. I don't think anybody envisaged him to have sort of the purposeful start that he's achieved so far this season. I recall being at Sheffield United at home at Stamford Bridge earlier on in August then, and being amazed at the time that Tomori was elected to start. And since then, it seemed that he's taken every opportunity. He comes with great confidence, great maturity. And it's just so exciting again to see yet another academy product thrive under Lampard's tutelage. And also, we have to recognise that now we're talking about an England international who's shown his ability to thrive on the international stage. So certainly the potential there is enormous. And I think, yes, he has been aided to a degree by Antonio Rudiger's absence. But I think most Chelsea fans would perhaps argue that he's played better than Kurt Zouma and Andreas Christensen. And when he returns to fitness, perhaps Rudiger and Tomori will be Frank Lampard's first choice centre-back pairing. So, you know, incredibly exciting times for him and for Chelsea supporters on the whole.
Another man that is rumoured to be on the verge of signing a new contract is Willian. I know he's a player that obviously Chelsea fans have really grown to love. He has been linked over the last couple of years with moves, in particular to Barcelona. There have been a number of bids that Chelsea have knocked back. Are you surprised? What sort of a contract are we talking about? Because I know that Chelsea have been reluctant to give players, once they pass the age of 30, anything longer than probably just a couple of years, if not just a 1-year rolling contract. So what sort of a contract will be on the table for Chelsea? Are you surprised maybe that they haven't allowed him to go for 50, 60 million pounds, considering some of the young players like Callum Hudson-Odoi that are coming through at Chelsea and signing Pulisic over the summer?
Yes, from that aspect, I suppose that it has been surprising somewhat that Willian hasn't been released for such a fee. But I think also recognising, particularly this season, Frank Lampard has really appreciated his experience and his ability to guide and nurture some of the younger talents there. You mentioned Hudson-Odoi and Christian Pulisic as being quite notable examples. And I think as well, you said, you know, there was great affection with Chelsea supporters with Willian, and I think everybody recognises just how hardworking, how determined and how committed he's been to the cause for throughout his Chelsea career. But I do think that he is approaching the end of his tenure with the club, and if the club were to renew his contract, I think it would have to be a short-term contract, perhaps returning to the rule that was instituted regarding the 12-month contract to players over the age of 30, particularly given the fact that there are numerous media reports that we're looking to strengthen in wide positions. You also look at the fact that Pedro's contract is running down this season, and he'll be free to negotiate contracts in January with foreign clubs. So if he were to get a contract extension, I think it would have to be a short one, because I think the club is looking to bolster its ranks in wide positions and perhaps reaffirm sort of Lampard's commitment to young players.
A lot has been made, Keon, of the young players at Chelsea, whether it be Reece James at right back, Fikayo Tomori, as we mentioned, at centre back, Mason Mount in midfield, Tammy Abraham up front. One man that obviously hasn't played this season due to injury is Ruben Loftus-Cheek. I think he tore his Achilles right at the end of last season in that friendly that they played over in America just before the Europa League final. How far away is he from a comeback for Chelsea? And do you think when he's back, do you think Frank Lampard will be very keen, especially what he's shown with the young players? Do you reckon he will come straight back into the first team, or will it be a very gradual process of integrating him back in?
I think the ability to reintegrate him and the team will be dependent on how much the injury has impacted him. Of course, you mentioned there the injury he suffered against New England Revolution last season. From what I've read and from what Frank Lampard has said, I don't think his return is imminent. I still think that he has some work to overcome that injury. And also, we have to recognise the likes of Callum Hudson-Odoi and Reece James were slowly integrated back into the team when they've returned from injuries. And even Antonio Rudiger, I know Frank Lampard was keen to ensure that he was fully fit before allowing him to return for a second time this season, because if you recall, he did start against Wolves in our 5-2 victory away from home, and then at half-time was substituted and he was injured, and then we didn't see him for a fairly lengthy period since then. So I think there will be a great deal of caution in regards to his return. But having said that, I think once he is fully fit, particularly towards the end of last season, I think Loftus-Cheek was our outstanding player. He was in tremendous form before he suffered that injury against New England Revolution. And I think, given as well the sort of the emphasis that this Frank Lampard team has on energetic play, seamless transitions, fast-flowing football, I do think that Loftus-Cheek's skill set is very much attuned with that, and he's proven to be such a dependable talent going forward. I think one of the main criticisms levelled at him was the limited goal contributions, but you know, he thwarted those claims last season, having reached double figures in all competitions, and I envisage him being a hugely important figure once he's back, and hopefully for the foreseeable future too.
Let's talk all things Champions League then, and obviously in Chelsea's group they've got through, but maybe the bigger surprise was that Valencia topped it and Ajax have gone out. Looking at the five potential opponents, Cleon, RB Leipzig from Germany, also Bayern Munich from Germany, one from Spain, Barcelona, one from Italy, Juventus, and one from France in Paris Saint-Germain. It seems like Leipzig would probably be Chelsea's preferred option out of those five. How will Chelsea be viewing their potential opponents, and how will those teams be looking at Chelsea?
Well, I mean, as you've mentioned there, the sort of the enormity of the challenge is quite evident, given sort of the reputation and the status of some of those teams. And from that aspect, I think we'll be cautious and we'll be wary of the threat that each team poses. And even though that perhaps RB Leipzig don't have the same sort of glamour and grandeur associated with some of the other teams, I think they've been absolutely phenomenal in Germany over recent seasons, particularly with their expansive style of football and their palpable focus on the integration of youth and young players. So each one of them poses considerable strengths and considerable threats. And but from that perspective also, I think that those teams will recognise that in a group that was fiercely competitive with Ajax and Valencia, we managed obviously to qualify. And had Ross Barkley not missed that penalty against Valencia at home on match day one, and then perhaps we would have topped the group and qualified as winners. So there is a recognition there that we have the ability to compete in Europe, particularly given the fact that we were undefeated against them last season's semi-finalists in Ajax, particularly that dramatic 4-4 comeback at Stamford Bridge. They are our prospective opponents. We'll most certainly recognise the strengths that we have, just in the same sense that we'll recognise the threats that they pose. And from a personal level, if we were to draw one of the big ones, so to speak, and no disrespect to RB Leipzig, it would be very fascinating to see Frank Lampard going head-to-head against Maurizio Sarri, and I'm sure that we would all be delighted if Lampard trumps him on that occasion.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Cleon. That was Cleon Carbis from the Chelsea Fancast joining us to talk about a potential new takeover. It doesn't seem like Todd Bowley is being put off by the first rejected bid. He is going in again, but from what Cleon said there, the Chelsea fans are pretty happy with Abramovich and they don't really want him to sell the club. He has his own way, his unique way of sacking managers left, right and centre. But you look over the last, 16, 17 years, Chelsea have won quite a lot of trophies. So maybe it has been a successful approach to it. Fikayo Tomori obviously is on the verge of a new 5-year contract. Willian, will he sign a new contract? And if so, it's likely to be a shorter term one. Ruben Loftus-Cheek probably still a little bit of time away. And as I mentioned, there are five opponents for Chelsea, potential opponents for the last 16. Leipzig, Barcelona, Juventus, Bayern Munich and PSG. The one that obviously stands out as the easiest, in inverted commas, is Leipzig. But I think if you play that game and start targeting who you want and who you'd prefer to get, it's a very dangerous game to play. Because even if Chelsea got Leipzig, That's not going to be an easy tie, and I suppose underestimate them at your peril. They're quite a similar side to Salzburg, and maybe no surprise there, but a dangerous side to face. Obviously, you ask any Chelsea fan, they would rather play Leipzig than Barcelona, Juventus, Bayern Munich or Paris Saint-Germain. That's obvious, but as the old phrase goes, if you want to win it, you have to beat the best. You have to beat the best if you want to go all the way. So for Chelsea fans, potentially be careful what you wish for. If you start targeting who you want and who you'd rather face than another side, it can be quite a dangerous game to play. We've got some big news here at Love Sport, and it is that we are going national from Monday. So you'll be able to listen to us across the UK on national digital radio. So when you follow your team up and down the country, you'll be able to listen to Love Sport the whole journey. Make sure you spread the word about us. They'll be able to listen all over the UK to the fresh new voice of sports radio. Plus, there'll be lots more new fan shows coming soon too. So Love Sport live across the UK on digital radio from Monday. We'll be back after this.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We brought you some news earlier that the report was that the Liverpool were closing in on the signing of Takumi Minamino. Well, RB Salzburg have confirmed they are in talks with Liverpool over a deal to sell Takumi Minamino for just £7.25 million. What a bargain. I was really impressed with him in both games he played against us, and he seems to be on the verge of a move to Liverpool. What an absolute bargain. What a brilliant bit of business. I'm not biased in any way. No, of course I am, but what a signing that would be. Let's talk about Wolves. They actually were going to get onto it. They've been linked with another Salzburg player. It could be a bit of an exodus from Salzburg. To talk all things Wolves ahead of their Europa League game tonight, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Ryan Leicester, Wolves columnist for Birmingham Live. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ryan. Before we talk about a few transfer stories, it's that time of the year where we're building up to January. Let's look ahead to the Europa League. Home against Beşiktaş tonight. Wolves already through. They could top the group. How delighted are you, though, with one game to go? This is Wolves' first European campaign in decades, that with one game to go, Wolves are already through.
It's incredible. Only 2.5 years ago, before Nuno took over, we were under Paul Lambert, sitting in the Championship, not playing great football, playing players out of position. It's like a dream come true. I know we've had some great signings and some great backing with the agent of the contacts that we've got there, but this has been a real Roy of the Rover story, particularly if you're a Wolves fan. Maybe not for some of our rivals, but it's like a living dream at the moment.
So, obviously, Wolves are through, but in theory, they could get top spot if I'm right in saying Braga, if they don't win and Wolves win, they will secure top spot. How important do you think that is in the Europa League, considering it goes to a last 32 and realistically the Europa League doesn't get until kind of the top quality until later down the line? Or do you think that it's absolutely paramount that Wolves take an opportunity, if it's possible, to get top spot?
Well, I think the team they put out for Braga in the last game when they drew 3-3 in Portugal, that showed Wolves' intentions of how badly they wanted to win the group. But because they didn't win that game and it's now out of Wolves' hands, I'll be surprised tonight if Wolves go full strength, and I wouldn't be surprised if they pretty much change the starting 11, because Wolves have got another tough game ahead on Sunday at Spurs, which I'm sure you're going to talk about as well. But if Wolves play their strongest team tonight and win, it may make no difference, because if Braga win and Wolves win, we've just wasted our time. So to be honest, I would expect them to rotate the squad tonight. Qualification is great. It'll probably mean we're not seeded if we come second. But you know what? If you're going to go far in that competition, you've got to face the best teams anyway. So for me, I think the sensible decision tonight will be to definitely rotate the squad and keep an eye on Sunday.
Let's look at some transfer stories before we look ahead to Sunday's game, which is a good game in prospect between Wolves and Tottenham. One player that's been linked with a move away, we'll talk about that in just a second, but also some interesting reports this morning surrounding potential Wolves' interest in Salzburg forward Hwang Hee-chan, the Korean international. Obviously, we've been talking about Takumi Minamino on the verge of moving to Liverpool. Erling Haaland might move to Germany in January. Another player that could be a Hwang Hee-chan. Supposedly, 17 to 20 million pounds is being rumoured, although if it were to happen, it'd be likely that Wolves would send him back on loan to Salzburg for the rest of the season. What do you make of this rumour? Do you think it's likely, and do you think actually this is a move that makes a lot of sense? Because some people have said at times Wolves' squad has looked just a little bit thin in areas. Do you think this is the sort of signing that makes sense for Nuno Espirito Santo?
Absolutely. In the Champions League games I've watched this year, when he's played against Liverpool, he's looked an absolute handful. He's looked really, really good. And
Nuno, since he's been there, has got a track record of getting players that are good and turning them even better. And even players before that, the likes of Doherty and Cody, were all right championship players. Now he's turning them to quality Premier League players. So, yeah, I mean, there's a bit, people like to talk about like Van Dijk. No one skins Van Dijk, but this guy's gone past Van Dijk a few times this season and looked really good doing so. So he's that kind of, he's got a lot of pace. I mean, as you say as well, Wolves don't have the biggest squad. And there was a lot of talk of so-called doing a Burnley and maybe struggling. But Wolves have actually got better the more games they've played. The two games a week has sort of built their stamina up and their togetherness. And they look a better team now. But I would definitely welcome more additions because in terms of Wolves' best 11 or 12, other than that, there's not really many game changes to come on if the game's not going our way.
One bit of news that maybe Wolves fans won't like to see have been links with Raúl Jiménez with a move back to Spain. He did play Atletico Madrid a few years ago and he said at some point in the future he wouldn't mind going back there. Now, Nuno Espirito Santo has played down that talk. Do you think that the form he's shown, as I said, I wasn't fully convinced with Raúl Jiménez when he first joined Wolves on loan, but if I'm being honest, over the last 6 months, I think he's been absolutely fantastic. He's become a lethal goal scorer. Do you think it might be one of those weird situations where, obviously, it's a good thing for Wolves that he's contributing, he's scoring a lot of goals and he's proven to be a real menace, but at the same time, it might end up being a problem because it will really alert some clubs, huge clubs like Atletico Madrid, to him, and it may mean that he might leave Wolves?
Absolutely. For a start, as you said at the beginning, and if Wolves are being successful and Raúl is scoring goals, it's going to attract attention. But that means Wolves are doing well. So that's a good thing. They're sitting sixth in the Premier League. So the manager and some of the players are going to attract attention. Now, no player at any club is not for sale. Everyone has a price. So if the right price came along, I wouldn't want to lose Raúl. But if an obscene offer came in and that money, which could be reinvested into the squad, which I'm sure it would be, then we'd have to seriously consider it. But for now, I'd be surprised. I mean, maybe the end of the season it'll look at, but Raúl seems really happy at Wolves. I know many talks and like if some big boys come calling from Spain, it'd be really difficult not to turn down or to certainly consider. But for the moment, I don't see any players leaving Wolves, maybe until the summer. But everyone's got a price.
Looking ahead then, Ryan, to Sunday's game, you've already preempted it. It's a pretty tasty encounter, actually, that we can watch on Sunday afternoon, although I believe, actually, it's Manchester United-Everton on Sky. A bit disappointed that the Wolves-Tottenham game isn't. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Obviously, Wolves playing tonight, therefore, that's why they're playing Sunday. Tottenham, obviously, under new management in Jose Mourinho. Wolves going really, really well after a bit of a tough start to the season. Wolves are on a really good run. I think they're unbeaten in over 10 games in the Premier League now. This looks like a really good encounter, a really tight encounter on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, Jose's a fantastic manager. He's been there, done that, won the lot. Spurs is a team full of talented players that were massively underperforming this season. I mean, to get rid of Poch was a big statement and an even bigger statement bringing Jose. And so it's going to be a good game of football. As you say, Wolves have been improving. Week by week, they've been improving. At the start of the season, my personal theory is at the start of the season, they didn't really get a pre-season. They were playing their qualifiers instead of pre-season friendlies. Now, if you're playing inferior opposition and it's not as tough to beat them, you're not being tested. So I think at the start of the season, Wolves hadn't really found that fifth or sixth gear because they wasn't being tested throughout the pre-season. As the season's gone on, they've got into it more, two games a week. Wolves are actually looking stronger for two games a season. And particularly last week against Brighton and West Ham before that, Wolves tend to finish the game. Last 80, on it's on to 80, 85 minutes. Wolves finish strong. They look fit and strong. So I'm excited about Sunday. It's going to be tough. I know I'm going to call it now, but I can't see it being 0-0. You watch it be 0-0, but I think there's going to be goals on Sunday, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Ryan. That was Ryan Leicester, Wolves columnist for Birmingham Live. It should be a really good game on Sunday. Wolves against Tottenham, right in and around each other in the Premier League table. Wolves could be doing some business in January. Can they keep hold of Raúl Jiménez? Obviously, they're in action tonight against Besiktas in the Europa League. Just a couple of other Premier League stories to bring you. Some breaking news over the last few minutes, actually. One of them is that the Premier League interim chief executive, Richard Masters, is set to be given the job on a permanent basis. It comes 2 weeks after media executive David Pemsel resigned before starting the role following newspaper allegations about his private life. Masters, formerly the organisation's managing director, was the fourth person to be offered the job. He has has been in temporary charge since the departure of Richard Scudamore in November 2018. And also a bit of news that we brought you earlier that has been kind of confirmed by Salzburg in the last hour is the news that Takumi Minamino is set to sign for Liverpool. Salzburg are in talks with Liverpool over the signing of Minamino from Salzburg to Liverpool for around £7.25 million in the January transfer window. Just wanted to bring you, obviously, a bit of news you may have heard here on Love Sport this week. It's very exciting news for us. It is that we are going national from Monday, which means that you can listen to Love Sport on digital radio no matter where you are around the UK. Obviously, it's really good news for us, really good news for all of you out there. So when you follow your team up and down the country, whether you're coming to and from work on a nasty Thursday evening or on a Saturday afternoon coming back from the football, you can tune in to us throughout your journey. Make sure you spread the word to all your friends and family across the UK, and they'll be able to listen all over the UK to the fresh new voice of Sports Radio. Plus, there'll be lots more new fan shows coming soon too as well. So Love Sport live across the UK on digital radio from Monday. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon.
This is Love Sport.